you have your Bible with you this morning, open it to the to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this entire chapter is devoted to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you're turning, I would remind you that, I listen to a newscast every once in a while that tells you what happened this day so many years ago. And I thought, that sounds good. I always like that. So I thought I would do it. Did you know that 1,942 years ago today, a fellow by the name of John Mark, who wrote one of the four Gospels that's in our Bible, had been preaching down in Alexandria, Egypt. He was telling people about Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who died on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose from the dead, and that whosoever should call on his name should be saved. And the people didn't believe that. And they didn't like that kind of preaching. So they tied a rope around John Mark, tied the other end of the rope to a chariot, and they drug him through the streets of Alexandria, Egypt, until he died. That was today, 1,942 years ago, in 68 A.D. Now, today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day that he rose from the dead, an event that happened about 1,981 years ago. I like to give you the dates on these because a lot of people, they don't have anything to relate it to. But it happened on a certain hour, on a certain day, and at a certain time. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, had died on a cross. He was crucified, and in his death, he took our place on that cross. He died our death, and it was through the shedding of his blood that we have the remission of our sins. We can be saved because his blood made atonement for our sins. His dead corpse was taken down from the cross. Joseph and Nicodemus, two men, took his body down, prepared it for burial, and placed it in Joseph's new tomb, wherein never before man had been laid. It stayed in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he says, because I live, you shall live also. Without him, you have no hope of living again. Now, I want us to consider this morning, in a brief period that we have here, reasons for the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, Christ arose because he was God. He was God. Not just anybody can do it. It has never happened before. Oh, there have been people, we read the accounts of people being raised from the dead, but that was always from a source outside themselves that raised them from the dead, and it was always by the power of God. But Jesus Christ came out of the grave under his own power because he is God, and God is life, and life is greater than death, and the body may die and go back to the dust, but you and I are immortal. We are immortal beings. And we have eternal life, and we've had it ever since we were born again. And we were born again when we repented of our sins and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. We don't deserve it. Eternal life is a gift to be received. It's offered to us free of charge. All we have to do is receive it. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Peter says of Jesus when he preached in Acts chapter 2 in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, he's talking about Jesus, and he said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Death could not hold him. It was impossible. So he rose from the dead under his own power. He arose in the same body that he lived in for 33 and a half years. He arose in the same body that had been nailed to the cross when he was crucified. It still bore the wounds of Calvary, the nail prints of crucifixion. And he used those wounds to prove himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days before he ascended back to the Father. Now listen to me. No other founder of any religion can make that claim. They all died and they are still dead. But Jesus is alive because he is God. That makes Christianity unique among the religions of the world. He arose because he is God. His resurrection from the dead is the confirmation of his deity. And you know, years ago, God had made a covenant promise with a fellow by the name of David, the son of Jesse, who ruled Israel for 40 years, King David. Peter reminds us of that also in his sermon in Acts chapter 2 when he says, therefore, being a prophet, talking about David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. God made a promise to David, and when he raised Jesus from the dead, he was keeping that promise. Now, the covenant of land was given to Abraham, the friend of God. But the covenant of throne was made to David, the man after God's own heart. If Christ had not risen from the dead, then that prophetic promise could not have been kept and fulfilled. But God is a covenant-keeping God, and he never makes a promise he can't keep. And Jesus rose from the dead to fulfill that covenant. And today, he is sitting at the right hand of God on heaven's throne. And one day, he's coming back to this earth to sit on David's throne and rule and reign over the whole world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Jerusalem. Now Christ arose that he might become the source of resurrection life. John writes this. He said, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. We can apply that to to ourselves individually today. If I have Christ, I have eternal life. If I do not have Christ, I do not have eternal life. It's that simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other source of life outside of Jesus Christ. And this comes by His resurrection from the dead. No one else, no other religion can make that claim. Jesus is the source of life. And He's also the source of resurrection power. The source of resurrection power. You know, it's going to take power. Stop and think about it. For millenniums, the graves of this earth have been filling up. Think of how many more dead people there are than there are living people today. God's got His work cut out for Him. He's got to separate between those who died with faith in Christ and those who died without faith in Christ. He's got to sort them all out. And come resurrection day, those who are asleep in Jesus, as the Bible calls them, those dead in Christ, shall be raised in resurrection power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. All right? Who gave it to Him? God the Father gave it to Him. Because God has all power. But Jesus said, God the Father has given all power unto me. And then He says to us, you shall receive power. God gave Him the power, and He gives us the power. That's from God the Son to us. He shares His power with us. That's authority power. And the resurrection of Christ is the measure of the power that's available to us. Romans chapter 6 verse 4. Paul said that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He gives us power. The Bible says that He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We have the power to overcome. We have the power to witness. The Bible says, well, Paul wrote this, he said, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, to whom nothing is impossible, which strengtheneth me. He's the source of that ultimate power. Now Christ arose also that He might become head over all things to the church, which is His body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Listen to these words. Thank you. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, that is, they're in subjection to Him, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of them that filleth all in all. You see, we have not been left orphans in this world. Amen. We have a Father and our Father is God. We are not powerless because we have been given access to all power based upon the resurrection of Christ. The head of our church sits at the Father's right hand on his throne. That throne is a throne of grace. It's a throne of power. And it's accessible. We can come boldly to that throne anytime that we want to. Amen. Now, Christ arose from the dead. Paul tells us in Romans 4:25, for our justification. Now, what does that word justification mean? It means simply this, that after we accept Christ as our personal Savior and are justified, we are made through Him just as if we had never sinned. Think of that. Justified, just as if we had never sinned. He says that He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Our personal standing before God, justified, is based upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely, doesn't cost you anything. Justified freely by His grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, made friendly again with God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, and He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Being justified is being able to stand in the presence of a holy God without the stain of guilt or sin upon our person or upon our conscience. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, we can do just that. And let me close with this. Christ arose from the dead so that He might be the first fruits of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 here. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. He is the forerunner of those who will follow Him out of the death and out of the grave. Verse 23 says, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at His coming. Now listen. I read our text now in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, the Bible says, for we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive and remain at that time shall be changed. changed into his likeness because Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead the third day. And he's alive forevermore. And he says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you came into this auditorium this morning lost, you can walk out saved because of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He can save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the invitation. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we have the joy and the privilege of preaching that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead, and that one day he's coming back to this earth to reign. You tell us that in your word. Father, if there's one today that's here on this Easter Sunday who has never accepted that risen Christ as their personal Savior, during the invitation today, Lord Jesus, let the Holy Spirit speak to their hearts and cause them to see that without Christ they're lost, but with Christ they can be saved and be born again, become a child of God. So speak to hearts today and draw us nigh unto yourself. Thank you again for your great love toward us, that you spared not your only Son, but gave him as a ransom for our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.